We are going to be giving you our Premier League team of the season.
Straight into goalkeeper. Who you got in goal?
I've got two. He is, on his day, the best player in the league.
If you lot, I'm leaving.
I think he's got 18 goals. He's fully left. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Board Drop Podcast, episode 97. And today, we are approaching the end of the season rapidly. There is literally one game week to go. There's a couple of midweek fixtures that will have happened by the time this goes out. But we are on to the final game week of the season. And to wrap up our season, wrapping up the proceedings, we are going to be giving you our Premier League team of the seasons. There are bound to be some outrageous takes and just ultimate ball knowledge spouted from our brains.
I've got all the receipts to back up my mandem. So I've got a team, Luke's got a team. We're gonna go through our teams individually,
and you can vote on whose is better.
Yeah, like always, I'll put them all up on social media and you can vote whose is better. And then what we'll do after we've made our teams of the season is we'll go back and look at our halfway through the season team of the season, and we'll see what players have dropped out, what players have stuck about. Yeah, it'll be good vibes, mate.
Yeah, excellent. I'm excited to see. I don't even remember my previous team of the season, so
I'll put them up on the screen when we talk through them. But yeah.
Right. What formation have you gone for?
So I've gone for a 4-3-3. I've got a couple of... I've only got one player semi out of position, but I wouldn't even call it that far out of position. What about you?
I've got a 3-5-2.
Of course he does.
Is that what I went for on my previous?
It is what you went for on your
there
previous.
You go. But yeah, 3-5-2. And I would say...
I assume that's because, and we'll talk about it when we get there, every single left back in the league this season has been absolutely pants.
I think even right backs, like, no one's really stood out, maybe apart from one or two.
Yeah.
But I think it's been the year, there's a bug on him, and it's been the year of the centre backs.
It has indeed, and that's all Pep Guardiola's fault. But we'll move straight into goalkeeper. Who you got in goal?
I've got two. I was struggling to decide.
What is this guy doing?
I was struggling to decide.
Pick one right now.
Alisson and Raya were the two in my brain.
Luke, I've got to make a graphic at the end of this. So
No. I've got to pick one.
Okay.
But right. I need to give you my thought process.
Oh, my God.
Because that's what the people come here for.
Okay, I've got David Raya.
So, yeah, David Raya, for me, he's had an excellent season. And I like how far he's come from the beginning, where it was so shaky. Obviously, he had big boots to fill in, taking over what Ramsdale was doing.
Agreed.
And for that reason, I think I am going to go with David Raya. However, Alisson missed a lot of the season throughout injury.
I think that's why he can't be in it.
And Liverpool aren't in the title race anymore. And it's not all down to him. But for me, I'm liking what Raya's done. I think I like how he's been brave, and he's made mistakes, but he's come back from them. And I think he's been a really important part of Arsenal's ability to build up through the back.
100%. Most clean sheets, won the Golden Glove, obviously. And like you said, I think he's grown into his time at Arsenal so commanding. I think my favourite thing about him, obviously, he was brought in for the ball playing and the calmness. But Ramsdale had that, probably to a slightly not a good extent, but had it. What he's got leaps and bounds above Aaron Ramsdale, and quite a lot of goalkeepers in the league, is his ability to come and claim crosses. I think that's one of the main reasons why we're so dominant. Obviously, we're dominant in the offensive box at scoring corners, but we don't concede many corners. And it's because, obviously, our centre-backs are Goliath, but he comes and claims a lot of crosses. He's a quality player, mate.
Yeah, I like it. I like
Golden Glove, he's both our team of the season goalkeeper. Right back. So you don't have one?
Don't have one.
Okay, so my right back is Ben White.
Do you just want to run through your back line?
Yeah, all right, let's do it. I got, four...
Actually, no, do your right back. Then we'll do our centre-backs together, and then you do left-back.
Right, yeah, right-back, Ben White. 13 clean sheets. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of Arsenal defenders. Our defence has been absolutely immense this season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Ben White has been a stalwart in that defence. We can talk about left-back and how we've had to rotate Tomiyasu, Kivior, Zinchenko. Ben White on his side has been a stalwart. He had a bit of a shaky start of the season where he wasn't really getting up the pitch enough, and people were arguing, what is he really bringing to the team? As the season's progressed and we've kind of hit our peak, he's been one of the players that's kind of raised his level. 4 goals, 4 assists. That might not sound like mental numbers because we're used to like the likes of Trent and Robbo dropping like double digits. But for like people were gassing up Pedro Porro, Ben White's got the same amount of goals and assists as him, like in total. So, and he's arguably a less offensive player, more defensive, which is why he's got so many more clean sheets. I think he's just been really good this season.
Yeah, I completely agree. He doesn't make it into my team, but he has been absolutely outstanding. I think there's just been three centre-backs who would be more valuable.
Southgate, swallow your pride, get the boy in that England.
Right, let's just... Well, we know who your best centre-back pairing are. Let's be
Saliba
honest.
And Gabriel, I said it in the last podcast, they are the best centre-back partnership in world football.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And we saw
I've
it
got
again.
Them as my right centre-back and central centre-back.
They're so good. We saw it again in the most recent game against Man United.
Just, mate, and their partnership together is so...
Mate, they feed off each other. You've got one that's a bit... more aggressive and assertive in Gabriel, and you got like the most calm, but like his recovery pace and just his footballing IQ for a 21-year-old. Saliba, mate, best
Rolls
footballing
Royce
prospect.
Of a defender. Gabriel also very good going forward, very good in the opposition box. For me, best centre back pair in the league, maybe in the world.
100%.
So yeah, they definitely make up two out of my three. My third centre back is gonna be who I believe you got at left back.
Yes.
Jared Brathwaite.
Come on, I thought you were going to say Virgil van Dijk.
No. So Jared Brathwaite's a weird one because obviously Everton haven't had a great season. Was it a bad season considering how they started with a massive points deduction? But he's been a shining light. And I think it'll be a disgrace if he doesn't end up going to the Euros
100%.
With the England squad. Left-footed, he's just so good. So good in the air. Calm, composed on the ball. He's been the reason that Everton have been so, so good this season against certain games.
Agreed. I'll hit you with some stats.
That game against Liverpool.
Yeah, well, he's a monster, mate.
Monster.
And, like, the only other centre-back I think is in with a shout is Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
But I'll hit you with some stats.
Go on.
Everton, 12 clean sheets. Liverpool, 8 clean sheets this season.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jared Brathwaite is already beating him in that sense. Virgil van Dijk, 3 goals. No, 2 goals this season. Brathwaite, 3 goals. So, offensively, defensively, Brathwaite is a monster, mate. And like we said, for a lesser good team to put up Virgil van Dijk level numbers, mate, Everton will do well to keep him in the summer.
Wasn't he the first player in Europe to make like more than 100 or like 50 or 100 combined headed clearances and recoveries? Something like that.
I think he's an absolute monster, mate. Yeah, I don't know if he'll still be there come next season.
I highly doubt it.
But yeah, he definitely is due a shout for team of the season.
Right, you go. Where are you going next? What you got? One DM.
Yes, I'd say one DM.
I've got two.
All right, so I've got Rodri. I was torn between Rodri and Declan Rice. I didn't want to put Declan Rice in there because then when I post my team, everyone will be like, oh, he's a little Arsenal there. Blah, blah, blah. So I put Rodri in there. I think Rodri has probably, and it's not sexy, but he has probably been the best player in the league.
Yeah, I
Over
agree.
Over a level, he's just constantly hitting like 8 out of 10.
I mean, we saw the point in the season where he wasn't there and Man City struggled. I think they've got some crazy stat where they're still unbeaten with him in the team.
Yeah, I think it's like 70 now.
Yeah, and he makes up one of my defensive midfielders. He's so good because Man City spends so much of the time in the opposition half and he's so composed.
Yeah.
He's so composed around the box. He's so good at recycling the ball. But then again, he's so good at stopping counters. He just controls
and
the game.
And this season, he's getting goals as well, mate.
Yeah, and he's clutch.
Yeah,
he's clutch.
Time.
I mean, scoring a Champions League final. So for me, he's got to be in there. And I think he's, without a doubt, the best DM in the world.
Yep. Second, though, is Declan Rice.
Well, it's funny you say that because my second DM is Declan Rice. I've got a 3-5-2 with sort of two DMs. Rice can push you up and make a...
Yeah, I was thinking of changing my formation to get Rice in there. He's probably my most notable omission.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything much needed to say. Declan Rice has been absolute night and day difference in the Arsenal midfield. Defensively, they've improved since last season.
Crazy numbers, mate.
And his ability to play sort of two roles. He can play that screening number six. He can also play that marauding, strong, tall central midfielder, making late runs into the box.
Getting goals,
We've seen him as well. Be useful in set pieces, taking a lot of the corners, a lot of the free kicks. His delivery is pinpoint.
100%.
He's so good. And when he's not taking them, he's in and around it, getting involved. Often found on the edge of the box, scoring, you know, a couple goals from outside the box. I think he's just such an all-round monster. He could do everything defensively. He's good going forwards. And for me, he has been the reason that Arsenal have been able to keep pace with Man City this season.
I think he's got more strengths to his bow than Rodri. But Rodri probably does everything at a slightly higher level.
Yeah, completely agree. But Declan Rice, way, 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 way better than Thomas Partey.
Yeah, Thomas Partey had a bit of a stinker against Man United, actually. I saw a tweet where it's like, if Thomas Partey was a horse, the owner would be getting the shotgun ready. Which is mad. Let's move forward. So I've got kind of like a 2-8 situation.
Okay.
What are you doing in your kind of forward
area? I've got 1-10. Okay. And then I've got a left mid and a right mid.
Okay, so let's do my 2-8s and then we can do your 10. I've got Odegaard as one of them. Is that controversial? I don't know.
I don't think it's controversial.
He started the season a little bit slow.
I think there's just so many good 10s.
But so did Arsenal. Whereas now... So I'll hit you with some numbers. 8 goals, 8 assists. Isn't groundbreaking. I think last season he had double digits. Obviously there's still time. There's a game left. But what I want to say is most through balls in the Premier League this season with 39.
Does that mean through balls landing at someone's feet?
Yeah. The next highest is 30 from Lucas Paquetá.
How many was Odegaard on?
39. So he's 9 higher than second place.
To be fair, Paquetá has missed way more than season.
So I'm saying, Paquetá will probably be right up there. I'm saying if we had a killer up top,
yeah,
this guy would be on 20 assists, I reckon. So get this man a striker that can put a chance away. Like Havertz is starting to get into the vibe, but I still don't think he is an out-and-out number 9.
He's not the killer that you need.
So get him an Isak, get him a Victor Gyökeres, and you watch this guy's numbers absolutely explode. But I'm not just talking numbers. His influence on the game, mate. Like, the way he drops deep now, collects the ball, is like, genuinely, I haven't seen a player that's more pressure-resistant than this guy. He can drop the shoulder, send guys for days, mate. The shoulder drop he did on Amrabat in the Man United game was actually just a violation. I'll put it there so we can all laugh. Yeah, my guy is just so techie, and he's, I don't know, he just controls the games, and you can see why Real Madrid signed him as a 15-year-old, because he's a special player.
Yeah, I think he's had an outrageous season. I think he's shown a lot of maturity in the role that he fills in the Arsenal team. A lot of the time where the games aren't going to plan, or it's getting a little bit shaky, 80th minute and it's 0-0. He's the player that they're looking to that provides that bit of quality.
He's just pure quality, but not even just that. Like, I think why I like him as a player in this Arsenal team more than I liked Ozil is because Ozil's pure quality, but doesn't really do the dog work. Martin Odegaard's leading the press in the 80th minute. He's the one running more than everybody else. And that's what you want from your captain. Yeah. To lead by example. I 100%. Think, yeah, he's just such a proper player, mate.
So you've got at the minute in your midfield Rodri and
Odegaard, and then next to Odegaard I've got Philip Foden, 17 goals, 8 assists,
best player in the world at the minute,
flying at the moment. So I've quoted this guy on the podcast a couple of times, Talk CPFC. He's one of my favourite content creators at the moment, I reckon. He's very kind of level headed Palace fan. And he did a video on Phil Foden about everybody. So everybody is kind of saying that Phil Foden is absolutely a shoo-in, miles ahead for the player of the season. And he kind of just said, is he really though? Like, his argument was that when Man City have a bad game, nobody looks to Foden. They look to Rodri or Haaland that are dropping, or De Bruyne that are dropping stinkers. But they never really blame Foden. Whereas, like, in Arsenal, if they have a bad game, people blame Saka. If Liverpool have a bad game, they blame Salah, Van Dijk. Why is Foden not getting held accountable when Man City... And they, fair enough, rarely do drop stinkers, but they have lost games this season. They're out of the Champions League. Why is Foden not held accountable if he's not dropping a good game?
I just
like
think,
the other guys?
Like, he is, on his day, the best player in the league.
He is, and I've said this multiple times.
No one comes close to him on his
day. He is the most technically gifted player in the league. Him
or Odegaard. He is so good.
Like, what these guys do with football.
The thing is, like, Man City's team is so stacked. Like, Saka is the star man. You've got your Odegaard, fine, but he's not the same, like...
output machine.
He's not the same game match winner as Saka. Like, people expect Saka to go away, get the ball and take on like four players and curl one of the top bins. You don't really expect that from Odegaard.
No.
He can do it, but you don't expect it. You know, Liverpool, you're not looking at Darwin Nunez, you're not looking at Luis Diaz, you're not looking at Szoboszlai. The only real players that you're looking at in that team are Trent and Salah, but Salah's been leading, like, his goal scoring numbers for the last five seasons have been incredible. So that's why they're looking to him. Kevin De Bruyne, Man City. Haaland, look what he did last season. Even players like Rodri, you're expecting players like Rodri, Diaz and Stones to be able to keep out everyone, you know. So there are more people on his level to share the blame. But I also think there is probably a bit of bias where people go, let's not blame him.
Well, yeah, it's obviously the English bias and the fact that, like, he is in a team full of £100 million transfers and superstars, but he was the homegrown academy talent. So he gets let off, kind of like Saka to an extent, but because everybody dislikes Arsenal more, and Saka is arguably Arsenal's star man, he'll get the kind of grief. Whereas Foden, like I said, he's just kind of subtly goes under the radar if Man City drop a stinker.
But then again, you say, like you say, their stinkers are so few and far between. Yeah. But when they smash teams, he is right there at the heart of it a lot of the time. And maybe that's what buys him time. His ability to, how many hat-tricks has he scored now for Man City? You know?
Well, that was another point he made. He scored a hat-trick. Well, I think he scored two this season, but I can only remember one of them. And one of them was against Aston Villa, when that Aston Villa team they put out was an absolute stinker.
Yeah, and he scored like four tap-ins.
He scored like a free kick that kind of...
No, that was it. It's a deflected one.
I like him. He's in my team of the season, but I think everybody is kind of gassing up his season maybe a little bit too much, in my opinion.
I still think he's player of the season.
I disagree. I don't know who my player of the season is yet.
If they go on to win the title, he's my player of the season. If they don't, there is another man who's in my team who might be. But
So that's my two, number eight, Odegaard and Foden.
So you've got Rodri, Odegaard, Foden. I've got Rodri, Rice. I've got Foden on the left.
This guy is doing a
just
mess.
Just do whatever
mate.
I want.
This guy's team is a mess.
Versatility.
It's a mess.
My attacking midfielder.
Okay.
Cole Palmer.
He's my right winger. I've left out Sacks, regrettably.
You just can't argue with the numbers.
And probably, I'll finish this video and think, nah, I should have just got Saka in. So I'll hit you the numbers. Cole Palmer's got 21 goals.
Single-handedly carrying this Chelsea team to a top half finish.
Saka, 16 goals, 9 assists. So it's tight. But yeah, I think Cole Palmer, where Saka, like we said, he's been doing this for a while now. It's nothing new for Saka. I think that's his third season in a row now where he's got double-digit goals, double-digit assists.
Yeah.
He's a special player.
Playing in a special team.
In a special team. Whereas I think Cole Palmer, I think he's got to be in there for kind of just like the leaving Manchester City storyline, the team joining a team that's absolutely fucking honking and to put up crazy numbers, carry his team multiple hat-tricks.
He's gone into a team with a lot of big names. You've got Enzo, World Cup winner. You've got Thiago Silva, like... grizzled veteran, one of the best centre-backs the world's ever seen. You've got players like Reece James,
100 million.
Like Chelsea through and through. You've got Ben Chilwell, left-back.
Raheem Sterling, who's won everything.
You've got Mudryk, massive price tag. Nicholas Jackson, big price tag. And then he's the man who stepped up and he's taken that team by the scruff of its neck and dragged them to results where they didn't deserve anything.
100%. He's been one of my favourite players
to watch this season. Foden and Man City do not win the Prem, Cole Palmer has to be in with a serious shout for player of the season. Because how many players have individually dragged their team
totally
to that level?
I totally agree. I think, yeah, like you said, if Man City don't win the Prem, it can't be a Man City player. And I'd struggle to pick out one Arsenal player over the rest. So I think I could see why they might not give it to an Arsenal player. Maybe Declan Rice or maybe Saliba. But yeah, I think if you're looking at individual impressiveness... yeah, it's Cole Palmer.
Yeah, some of the stuff he's done and
special.
Yeah, I mean, to have him and Foden at your disposal for England is going to be disgusting.
100%.
So yeah, I've got Rodri, Rice, Foden on the left, Palmer in the middle.
Who have you got on your right side?
This might be a bit contentious.
Oh my God, he's got Salah.
This was the one that I had the most trouble with. I had a few names.
If you've got Salah, I'm leaving.
I have Salah. I think he's got 18 goals. He's fully left. 80 goals, 10 assists, and he's had a stinker of a season.
Saudi's calling, brother. But for you also, and Salah.
He's put up better numbers than Saka, right?
I don't even care about the numbers when it comes to Mo Salah. The drop-off for like the second half, the entire second half of the season has been cataclysmic, mate.
Yeah, but he left. He had to suffer the post.
He's culpable for this Liverpool bottle of the title race.
Say what you want, but that's the level he's at. Is that he? If you blame it single-handedly on him because he's not doing his job.
Culpable means other people are involved, but he is also culpable.
Yeah, well, of course he is.
Shouldn't be in it, mate.
But he's put up good numbers again. Missed out a large part of the season with injury and AFCON, and he's just all. If he's in the Premier League, he's going to be in it.
Disagree. But so does that mean you've got two strikers or what?
Dos strikers.
Ah, this guy, man. All right, hit me with. Actually, no, I'll do mine. Oh no, I haven't told you my left winger. So I've got Rodri, Foden and Odegaard, right wing Cole Palmer, left wing, here we go, Anthony Gordon.
Yeah. He's been so good.
We can make a discussion about Newcastle, kind of, have they underachieved this season? Possibly. I think what happened last season is they overachieved. They're currently in sixth, which I think probably where they should have been last season, but last season they overachieved. I think sixth is about their level until they make some kind of further transfers. We see their squad's absolutely depleted. Injury was bad this season as well. But I think a couple of players in that team have hit a level. One being Isak, but he doesn't make my striker position. But Anthony Gordon, there isn't that many good left wingers. I was flirting with getting Trossard in. And Trossard has kind of done the opposite of Salah. Whereas Salah's first half of the season was good, and second half of the season stinks. Trossard wasn't really playing much first half of the season. It was all Martinelli. Second half of the season, it's all been Trossard, and he's been great. But I've gone Anthony Gordon. He's been a consistent, good part of this Newcastle team. I really like what he does. And, yeah, I've done a 1-8 on him. I thought his transfer to Newcastle was a bit expensive and premature in his career, but I think he's so good.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's been fantastic. He doesn't make my team, but he was someone who I did think about including. Right, my two strikers.
Do it, man.
Ollie Watkins.
Okay, I've got Ollie Watkins as well.
Yeah, he's just been so, so good. He's a shoo-in for the England team in the summer, and I just think he's been one of the main reasons that Aston Villa's had so much success this year.
So bloody.
Why they're going to get Champions League. So, so good. He's clearly learnt a lot under Unai Emery. And yeah, there are a few more dangerous and prolific strikers in the league than him. And he's not just been doing it this year. We saw it off the tail end of last year as well. It's not a purple patch. This is consistency. This is the level he's at.
No, yeah, he's a level. He's a Champions League level striker, for sure.
Getting involved in not just the goals, but with the assists.
I was going to say that. 19 goals. So he's in the title race, in the golden boot race. I think he's third behind Cole Palmer and Haaland.
Yeah.
But second most assists in the league.
It's crazy.
12 assists. So, yeah, like you said, he's in 30 goal involvements now, which is seriously impressive for a player playing for Aston Villa. No disrespect to Aston Villa. They're a good side. But he is competing with the big boys numbers-wise.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And like you say, he's in a team where, like a Man City or an Arsenal or even a Liverpool way, you know you're going to create crazy amount of chances. Mm. Because you've got all the quality in the world. Mm. To be able to put up those numbers isn't as impressive as someone like at Aston Villa, where they don't have all the quality throughout the team and on the bench, you know?
Exactly that.
So, yeah, what a fantastic job he's done. And my final striker is Erling Haaland. Even after
he's a horrendous season,
he's still
horrendous, yeah.
Top of the goal scoring charts. He's going to likely pick up a second golden boot. It hasn't been quite as good, but then again, have Man City been as good? I don't know. It was always going to be difficult to continue living up to the expectations following on from last year, where he scored a ridiculous amount of goals. And I think this year's been a long year, and it's been a learning period for him, where I think he's going to quickly realise that he can't just be as one-dimensional. If he's one-dimensional and really good at it, it will only take you so far. And I think that's why this season's been a little bit more difficult. But like we say, he still sits at the top of the goal scoring charts.
Yeah, top
and
player.
And you catch him on the wrong day, he's going to put six past you. And there are very few players in the league who have that sort of clout. Mm. So yeah, for me, very, very good. Should we run through our teams real quick?
Yes. Okay. So my full team is in goal, David Raya. Right back, Ben White. Centre back pairing, the best centre back pairing in world football, Saliba and Gabriel. Left back, I've kind of gone for a left centre back kind of thing, Jared Branthwaite. Centre mid of Rodri. In front of him, Foden and Odegaard. Right wing, Cole Palmer. Left wing, Anthony Gordon. And up top, Ollie Watkins.
Very nice. I've gone Raya in goal. I've gone my three centre backs of Saliba, Gabriel, and Branthwaite. Then I've got Rodri and Rice. In front of Rodri and Rice, I've got Cole Palmer. On the left, Foden. On the right, Salah. And then up top, Ollie Watkins and Haaland. Attacking pedigree.
I like it. I'll put them all up on social media. But let us know right now in the comments, whose team of the season are you liking more? And is there any shouts that you definitely have in your team of the season that we haven't mentioned? Right, what we're going to do now is I've got up our team of the season from January. And looking at it, there's quite a lot of interesting shouts. So we're going to go through Luke's team first and then my team. Actually, we'll go through our kind of individual positions and kind of pick out players that we think are worth a discussion.
So in goal, my team of the season was, I had Alisson, who was a player I was flirting with alongside Raya. I think my switch to Raya is fair. I think Alisson had he's always going to be good.
I think at that point, Liverpool were top of the league. And then after that, he got injured. So the drop-off is understandable.
So, yeah, I think...
But a guy whose drop-off isn't understandable is Vicario. I had him in my team of the season in Jan. Has him and Spurs just returned to like a normal level and they were just overachieving at the start of the season?
It'll be difficult.
Or is there an actual drop-off that's like worth discussing?
I think he was really impressive because he was quite an understated signing.
Understated signing, and he was just... So, like, he looked like he was making saves out the wazoo, mate.
But I don't think the second half of the season has been strong enough to warrant a place over someone like David Raya.
100%. So I've gone for a right back of Pedro Porro. I think that's similar with Vicario. The drop-off in Spurs' defence. I think they were always conceding chances, but the defence was overachieving at the start. Like, Van de Ven was dropping man of the matches out the wazoo. Vicario's making so many saves. Udogie and... So I've got Udogie as well. I've got Udogie, Pedro Porro and Vicario. Think I was just kind of riding that Spurs train thinking that their defence was good. I think maybe them and Ange have been found out a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've basically gone for the same formations we went with before. So I've gone...
I've got
Saliba.
Yep.
But then I've also got Van Dijk and Ezri Konsa.
Yeah, talk to me about Ezri Konsa.
I just think you can't miss out Gabriel.
We both have a few Aston Villa players, to be fair.
And I think I was heavy on Aston Villa, and probably quite deservedly so. But
I've got Saliba and Gabriel. I've stuck with Saliba and Gabriel. Like I said, I have a vision.
Yeah.
And that vision is them two being the best centre-back pairing in world football for a decade.
I mean, Saliba and Gabriel are both 100% in every team of the season, I think. I had Van Dijk. Liverpool's fall-off. You look to someone like him, the captain... Yeah, you can't be in there if you fall off that hard. And I think Branthwaite is more than deserving enough. I think it's almost quite easy to disregard the teams that aren't battling for the title when it comes to the team of the seasons. But I think if you put him into any top six team, he would be right up there.
100%. And I'm not a stats nerd. Don't really like stats. But the fact that Everton have got more clean sheets this season than Liverpool is enough of a stat for me to think Van Dijk hasn't been good enough. He should be marshalling that defence. If everybody says he's the best centre back in world football, you should have more than 8 clean sheets.
Yeah, agreed.
Midfield, so we both got Declan Rice. You stuck with Declan Rice. I swapped him for Rodri, but I think from that we can say that Declan Rice, one of the best players in the league this year,
and that's consistency throughout the season.
So we both got Douglas Luiz.
Yes,
Aston Villa were flying at that point.
Yeah,
but
they're still doing all right. Why is Douglas Luiz not in our conversation? You're looking at team of the season, and at this point Aston Villa were in a potential title charge, which was very much overachieving. I mean, it's incredible that they're still in Champions League places, and that's a massive overachievement from what we would expect from them, especially the teams they're competing with. But you've got to look at Man City just being a force of nature again, and that's mainly due to Rodri. We saw how they struggled without him. So for me, he's got to be in there. I think it's just the quality in the sort of like central midfield areas is where Douglas Luiz is fantastic and would be a fantastic addition to any squad. I think he could play a role for Man City. He could play a role for Arsenal.
Agreed.
But you can't have three defensively minded midfielders.
Let's talk about two rogue ones. So I've got Lucas Paquetá and you've got John McGinn.
I think, well, speaking on yours, if Lucas Paquetá had been fit for the rest of the season, I think he could be well in with the shout. But West Ham have been so up and down.
Yeah, they have. Their like recent form up until on the weekend has been stinking.
Yeah, I know. They've been so up and down, so that's probably why he's missed out. Obviously, he had a fairly decent injury as well. And yeah, John McGinn. I don't know. I was really, really enjoying John McGinn. I haven't enjoyed him so much.
It's weird because the second half of the season, like, so we've had Aston Villa players and we've got rid of them, but they haven't really dropped off. Maybe
we're just less impressed.
Less impressed. Well, maybe that's a testament to Aston Villa. Just kind of we're getting accustomed to them doing well. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, I've gone left mid.
Yeah, you've got Son.
He was doing well.
Well, it's kind of like
the Spurs effect with Porro and Vicario. Yeah, 100%. I mean. First start of the season, they were really good, and then we sort of gave them their dues when they had that game against Chelsea where they lost like Romero, Van de Ven, Odogi, and Madison to injury, and it all fell apart. And we sort of said, well, they've got a bit of an injury crisis now, let's judge them sort of when that returns to normal. And Son's been good, but I don't think he can play that number nine.
I've seen people talking about cashing in on Son,
and I think that might be the case. But
shout out our boy Sonny,
I like Son. But he's not making team this season.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And then you've got Salah still, so nothing new there. Jared Bowen, interesting. I had him as my right winger. And I think kind of like Lucas Paquetá, if West Ham had kind of kept an upward trajectory from the start of the season where they were quite good, maybe they'd be in with a chance. But I think West Ham have had a bit of a fall off, maybe to do with the whole is Moyes staying, is Moyes leaving kind of thing. Who knows? Yeah, I think he is a top player.
I've touted him with moves.
I have suggested him as a move for Man United. Yeah. I think he's so good. He's got just like the right kind of attitude that you want.
Do you think he's got to be in the England squad? Is that second place to Saka?
I think so. If you're going to play Cole Palmer in the middle, then yeah, definitely Jared Bowen as a backup to Saka, 100%. I've got Dom Solanke up top.
I think he's a very valid shout.
I was so close to putting him in, and then I just looked at Watkins' stats and kind of what he was doing, and I just can't ignore that kind of numbers. But Dom Solanke, for a Bournemouth side that were kind of, at the start of the season, new manager, kind of people didn't really know what to expect. Are they going to get relegated? New ownership and stuff. He has dropped 19 goals.
He's so good.
He's a bagsman. And should be on that plane.
And he's so good on the ball.
Should be on that plane for England, mate.
Yeah, I mean, we are quite blessed going in the midfield areas and particularly the forward areas. Mm. But England's struggling at the back.
100%. And then I had Ollie Watkins at left wing, so I've moved him centrally and brought in Gordon.
Ollie Watkins and Haaland, the same strike force.
100%.
And neither of them have really let up. I mean, Haaland's had a dip in form, but still sits top of the goal scoring chart, so I think it says it all. Do you want to quickly give a manager for your team of the season?
Yes. While I was talking about Bournemouth, it made me think, I think Andoni Iraola might be my manager. If Arteta, obviously we're recording this before the end of the season, if Man City somehow don't get a result against Spurs or West Ham and Arsenal go and win the league, it has to be Arteta. So 27 wins so far this season, 28 if whatever happens against Everton, but 27 wins... in new a Premier League season Arsenal. Is a new record for Arsenal. Yeah. He is breaking records. And the only issue is he's taking on an absolute force of nature in Man City.
We better say frauds of nature.
Or 115 charges of nature. He is a special manager. And I think if Arsenal win the league, he is my manager of the season. But right now, Andoni Iraola, for what he's done with that Bournemouth side, I think he's due some vibes from the Boardwalk Podcast.
Yeah, I like Iraola. We said it at the beginning of the season, he'd be our one to watch out for. We touted Bournemouth to do fairly well, and he had big boots to fill because Gary O'Neill had done a really good job there. But for me, I'm going to go Unai Emery. I think Aston Villa, almost being safe with two games to go in the Champions League spot, battling against the likes of big spending Chelsea, sort of an upsurgent Spurs,
Newcastle,
Man United, who spent big money, Newcastle, who are next, meant to be the next big thing.
Yeah, he's done great.
I mean, even De Zerbi's Brighton were going to be challenging.
He's done over Arsenal this season.
Yeah, done double over Arsenal.
Beat City.
Man City in probably the most convincing beat of Man City I've seen for a very long time.
100%.
And I think he's just done an absolutely outrageous job. Be disappointed how they performed in Europe, I think.
They did all right, and then got knocked out against Olympiakos, and I don't know how I feel about that.
But I would have expected them to beat Olympiakos, and I wouldn't have expected them to struggle as much as they did against Lille.
And he's a European monster, isn't he? So.
But I think maybe it was just a little...
Too much going on,
a little bit too much going on. They didn't have the depth there.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, he's been fantastic.
Love to see it. As always, we are Classic Football Shirt affiliates. So if you want to get yourself any football gear heading into the summer, the Euro summer, use our affiliate link in the top line of the description. Put in the code BOARDRAW10 and you'll get yourself 10% off and help out the podcast.
Yeah, we've got so much content coming out. So make sure you are getting involved. We respond to all your comments down below. So let us know your team of the season. Let us know who we missed out. And yeah, make sure you're following us on all our socials. We're going to be really active on TikTok over the next couple months, particularly with Euros content. And make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Hit the notification bell because we are going to be absolutely flooding the place with content, and it's going to be great. So make sure you're here for it. But yeah, guys, get excited because it's going to be massive. We've got some great videos coming out soon. But yeah, it's been Board Draw episode 97.
100 coming soon. Very soon.
End of the season coming soon.
Mm.
And it's live.
Bah.